From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Foster, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, farmland values in the heart of the Midwest have dropped by 4%. The WTO has authorized Brazil to levy sanctions against the United States, and Tyson Foods has put an old hand at the business at the top of its food chain. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then I'll key you up for the end of the harvest season and the start of the winter meeting season. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Closing Market Report is a production, of course, of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat down 2 3/4 today. A 5.59 3/4 settlement price. The March at 5.80 3/4 down 3 1/4. And the May futures down 3 1/4 at $5.92 1/4. In Kansas City, hard red settled 5.56 3/4 down 4 1/4 on the afternoon. From the corn pit back in Chicago, down 4 cents for the nearby December at $3.91. Once again, settlement price down 4 in December corn. March contract at 4.07 3/4, or rather 4.07 down 3 3/4, and the May at 4.17 down 3 1/2 cents. July futures 4.25 1/2 down 3 1/4. And the September corn today at 4.30 1/4 down 2 3/4. January soybeans $10.46 up 7. The March at 10.50 1/4 up 5 1/2. May at 10.50 1/2, 4 1/4 higher, and July at 10.53 1/2, 3 1/2 cents higher. August soybeans, $10.49 1/2, up 3 on the day. December bean meal at 3.17 10, down $1.30. December bean oil at 39.71, 26 higher. December live cattle futures, $83.95, 27 1/2 higher. Jan feeder cattle at 92.67 1/2, up 85, and the lean hogs finished the December contract at $57.60, $1.62 1/2 higher. A couple of other quick contracts. December corn for next year at $4.35 1/2, down 2 3/4. November beans of 2010, up a penny at $10.22 1/2. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's the outside markets on the afternoon. Settlement prices in the crude oil. Nearby contract, that's December futures, at $76.72 a barrel, down 74 cents. December ethanol at $2.09 1/10, 3 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.43 7/10, up 9 1/2 cents. And the RBOB, that's $1.98, and just about unchanged on the day. And the heating oil futures at $1.97 1/2, down 2 cents on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,146.40, up $5 on their settlement price. And the Dow now just about 20 points lower at 10,312. The U.S. dollar at 75.64 is up 0.35. And the CRB index at 274.58 is up 0.31 on the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs at 508.66, down 1.99. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist Ed Geezer, with a bit of an update from Mike Sola. They say tonight, partly cloudy skies, some patchy fog forming. Lows mostly will range from about 35 to 39, but in the low 40s in the far southern sections and internal in Chicago. Tomorrow, patchy fog early, otherwise partly mostly sunny. Highs will range from 53 in northern Indiana to 60 in the far southern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says most areas will remain dry on Sunday and Monday. Drying rates will remain rather slow, so fields will slowly dry over the next 4 days. A cold front will pass through Monday night, triggering scattered showers Monday night into Tuesday. Heavy rainfall not anticipated, but enough should fall to give a delay in the drying trend. A little in the way of precip is expected Wednesday through Sunday. Up next week, more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On the line with us to talk about the agricultural markets this afternoon, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Hey, you're making your way over here this afternoon for our Commodity Week program, aren't you?
The Prius is all fired up.
We'll fire that baby up. Let's go get the electric motors humming. And
that's
make,
right.
Make your way here. We'll post that, by the way, to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. By about 6 o'clock this evening, our guest on the phone line will be Jim Bauer. You could just stay there with Jim, probably. He's in Lafayette. Or you could bring him with you, I suppose,
yeah,
if you really want to. Let's talk about this marketplace just a bit. Kind of an interesting day. Some things that are out this afternoon. There are some numbers from the Cattle on Feed report. We'll get to those. I wanted to look at the weekly changes in the marketplace because I'm not sure that everybody, I certainly didn't think about how much of a gain there was in the bean pit this week. November beans, January beans rather, and the November expired, were up 59 cents from the previous Friday on the lead option, that is, at $10.46. November of next year, we're up 25 and a quarter at $10.22.5. You think that much of a move was justified?
Yeah, I do, from a standpoint that I think what was hanging the beans back, Todd, was probably a little bit of a inter-commodity spreading where the corn was being bought, the wheat was being bought, and the beans were being sold, because I think the trade felt pretty comfortable about the idea that the demand side of the equation was going to remain fairly subdued and probably decline into the holidays. I also feel like that maybe the fact that the river basis at the Mississippi and also at the Ohio really plunged. I talked to a client on Tuesday, I believe it was. He was in Memphis, and he told me that his bean basis had gone from 15 over to 40 under in about 4 days, and it was mainly because the commercial could not get a hold of barges. So there was a transportation issue there that was really clogging up and making the beans look pretty tough. I think, though, when we saw that still 7 of the 18 states on Monday's harvest report were still below 85% harvested, we started to catch on Tuesday, and that really started to go in on Wednesday as well. Thursday's exports, I think, really put us over the top as far as that phenomenal demand that we saw in both beans and meal, I think changed a lot of attitudes in Chicago, so that the beginning of the week, beans were probably the short end of the spreads, but by the time we got to the end of the week, they were the long end, and that's why they had in January nearly a 60-cent rally. There's also really nothing crazy that happened when the November futures went off the board, and I think that gave some people a sense of coming back in and, you know, getting some longs back in place.
Okay, so you're telling me that in the beans there was a problem on the river at one point. That got fixed so they could start to move beans, and demand would have picked up, headed for the Gulf. And then maybe more importantly, that last 15% of the crop that most people saw out there in 17 of the 18 reporting states might stay out in the field for a fairly long time, and they're a little concerned about it, I guess.
Yeah, I think the market assumed that the cash basis was maybe more due to a lack of export business and the idea that the crushers on the domestic side wouldn't be really aggressive for beans to crush. But with the margins anywhere from 80 cents to a dollar a bushel for the December time period, then when we saw those exports on Thursday, I think the trade really kind of worked themselves into a kind of a corner that they had to get themselves out of. We actually had heard the Gulf basis pick up this morning by anywhere from 6 to 7 cents in beans. I think that alone was helpful in that the beans were able to stay on the long end and stay on the higher level, with the idea the trade's maybe smelling some more Chinese exports coming down the pike here. So, yeah, I think most of it was psychology based around the cash market, widening the basis, and then also that issue that maybe the demand was going to peak here and start to go lower.
Let's stay with those things that gained for the week, one of your favorite commodities. Wheat futures were higher, up 20 cents in the December. The harvest month, July, up nearly 20 cents as well, 19 and a quarter higher. What happened there?
real good week for the wheat compared to, say, the corn, which only closed up a half a penny in December. And I think the fact that today's close was right on the 200-day moving average was indicative that early in the week we saw a lot of index reported index fund buying. We were able to jump up to the 583.5 level. I think that was on Tuesday or Wednesday. We tried and went after the August 3rd high of 585 in December wheat futures. Couldn't get it above that, didn't have enough energy, and so then profit taking came in. And what it seemed like to me early in the week was the wheat really had the most of the amount of buying, and the longs come in the early part of the week, and by the mid part of the week, most of the buying was done. And I think also continuing to see weekly export sales so disappointing, 13 million bushels, just atrocious this week, and then also continuing to lose some base business, export business out of the Middle Eastern countries too. So I think kind of the exact opposite of the bean market, where we started out real strong in the early part of the week for the wheat market, but then we started to taper off and ended up being right back down that 200-day moving average by today's close.
Yeah, still when you look at it, it's been a kind of a nice little uptrend since the lows were made in October.
You know, the key about the wheat here, I think, Todd, is that it is going to show us the top first, because I think that it has most of the index fund bullishness priced into it, and it's the farthest away from its own fundamentals, especially after the November report.
Right. Okay, turn your attention to the corn market, where if you look at the chart on the March contract, you kind of see a double top there. It shows up a couple other places too, I suppose, but most prevalent in the March contract. Anything to discuss of great imports there? They didn't really change very much Friday to Friday on their close, as you mentioned, just a half cent higher in that December contract.
I'm a little nervous about the corn going into next week. We didn't do any major technical damage, but we're sitting right back down around 405 in the March contract. The 200-day moving average is right around the 385 level. We've got some daily sell signals on the daily charts. I think technically we look vulnerable to an early week sell-off. Fundamentally, what really disappointed me was the fact that we had really good exports to Mexico on Tuesday. We had these harvest delays with the wet weather. We got harvest progress in Monday afternoon. Trade guesses were way above what we actually came in at, 54%. And we have 13 of the 18 corn-producing states below 75% harvested. I really felt like the corn had something to work with, both fundamentally and technically this week, but it just didn't happen. And then this morning, there were rumors that the indexes were going to come in and buy in what they call rebalancing of their commodity portfolio and positions. Didn't see that happen. So I'm a little bit nervous about the corn, especially if the beans and the wheat don't give it support early next week.
And finally, turn your attention. Let's talk a little bit about the cattle on feed numbers. On feed as of November 1 at 101. That's within trade range. Average guess there at 101.5. Placements at 101. Average guess at 102.5, but 101 within the range. It was a big range. And then marketing's in October at 97. Average guess was at 97. Anything of that will have much of an impact on Monday?
You know, we made new contract lows in feeders this week, and I think, like you said, that range was very wide in placements, and the highest number was 106. To come in at 101.4 and beat the average and be, you know, literally almost 5% underneath the highest estimate, I think technically and fundamentally maybe the feeders have a chance to go up. That kind of ties into the weaker corn market too, Todd. It seems like the inverse relationship between feeders and corn is back in play. So if the feeders start out higher and corn assumes a negative role, we might have a decent rally in feeders next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. See you later.
Good luck coming over. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodities and Consulting Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey is here now to take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
In agricultural news, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says that farmland values dropped 4% in the heart of the Midwest in the third quarter compared to a year ago. The report covers the 7th Federal Reserve District, which includes all of Iowa and most of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan. It was the third straight quarter that farmland values dropped from the prior year. However, values in the third quarter were up 2% from the second quarter. The World Trade Organization will rule on a challenge brought by Canada and Mexico against U.S. regulations requiring country of origin labels for food. Sources say a trade panel has been established by the WTO and that while the two cases were brought separately to the WTO, the trade body will make a joint ruling on the issue. In its request for arbitration, Canada said that it had raised its concerns to Washington about the impact of the labeling on the Canadian livestock and meat industries. Separately, Mexico said it shared the same concerns as Canada. Meanwhile, the WTO yesterday authorized Brazil to impose trade sanctions on the U.S. over its support for cotton. But Brazil is not yet ready to levy the sanctions as it considers which U.S. products to target and analyzes U.S. data on subsidies, which will determine the size of retaliation. The Brazilian government published a list of 222 items on November 9th, including foodstuffs, textiles, and pharmaceuticals for trade sanctions. Tyson Foods has tapped company veteran Donnie Smith as its new chief. Smith, who has been at Tyson for nearly 30 years, will be the company's president and chief executive. Smith said that his priority early on will be to, quote, continue to get our chicken business back on track. But overall, Smith adds, there won't be a lot of strategy changes. And Brazil's biotechnology agency says it did not approve the commercial planting of a genetically modified soybean variety produced by Bayer, backtracking on an earlier statement. Monsanto's Roundup Ready soy is the only GMO soy approved for commercial use in Brazil, which legalized the use of transgenetic crops in 2005. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record tonight at 4:30. Our guest in studio for Commodity Week, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzolo, and Jackie Vakes. On the phone lines, Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. You can listen to Commodity Week online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post it to our website by just about 6 o'clock this evening. It's recorded at 4:30 in the afternoon each and every Friday. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. Now up next, time to check in on the winter meeting season. The specialist here on campus will kick off the season Tuesday, December the 1st, debuting the Ag Masters Conference. The two-day event is set for the iHotel, that's just south of the Assembly Hall here in Champaign. The premier event will shortly take its place, I know, in a long legacy of University of Illinois crop production and protection programs that spans more than 60 years. It is an event targeted to those interested in making the most of the latest agricultural research and information. Continuing education units are available, including certified crop advisor credits and Indiana continuing certification hours. Registration and program information on the 2009 December 1 and 2 Ag Masters Conference is available online. Just search Google for Ag Masters, all one word. A bit later in the month, the five-day 2009 Illinois Farm Economic Summit Roadshow will kick off in Champaign, Illinois. That's on the 14th of December. It will be the first in a work week's worth of programs, including dates in Bloomington, Galesburg, Rochelle, and Mount Vernon on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, respectively. The Farm Economic Summits bring the University of Illinois Farm Doc team into the country. The U of I Ag Economist will cover crop livestock prices, prospective farm returns for 2010, speculate a bit on how price volatility impacts farmer marketing, look at the climate change bill, acre crop insurance and managing risk, and farmland values. The program runs from 7:45 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. daily. Pre-registration through December the 7th is $50. Registration for the 2009 Illinois Farm Economic Summit is online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. And finally, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. The crop production and economic staple known as the Corn and Soybean Classic will return for its 13th year in January of 2010. The dates for the day-long University of Illinois Conference are the 6th in Mount Vernon, the 8th in Champaign, the 11th in Springfield, the 12th in Bloomington at the Doubletree this year, the 13th in Moline, and January the 14th in Malta at Kishwaukee College. I'll host the program, and Terry Niblack, Fabian Fernandez, Daryl Good, Vince Davis, Gary Schnitke, Emerson Nafziger, Mike Gray, Aaron Hager, and Carl Bradley will deliver the information. The Corn and Soybean Classics are for farmers and landowners and agribusiness professionals interested in learning about hands-on agriculture. Pre-registration for the January meetings is $60 and can be done online. Search Google for Corn and Soybean Classic. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets, Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Are folks there still stymied out of the field? I suspect that ought to be the case.
We are seeing a few combines back in the north part of our draw area, say Buckley North. A few people are starting, or trying it at least.
I haven't
seen anything here at Ludlow.
I'm surprised they can get started, but more power to them. I hope they got big tires on. How's the grain that's coming in look?
The quality seems like the later corn has improved. We haven't seen as much diplodia in the later corn.
Mm-hmm.
Test weights are picking up a little bit. They're still not great, but they're better than the early crop was. Moistures back, when was it, a month or two ago before it started raining, were coming down to 20.5 to 22.5, depending on location. So we had been seeing it dry down some, which is good news.
You've had enough corn in that you should know. Test weight on average across everything you've gotten in is about what? Do you know?
54 and a fraction.
So it's low, but it's still
low.
It's still well within the bottom end of the yellow.
54 is discountable,
range.
So it's not discountable, but it's not the 58 to 60 pound corn that we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. And then when you take a look at your bids for the day, what do they look like?
We are at 366 on nearby corn and 1026 on the soybeans.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, we're going to drag things out a little bit on when people can get back in, and we're shortening the days up, but everybody needs to continue to keep an eye out. It's getting dark early, but everybody's going to be pushing to combine.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
That's Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Speaking of keeping the lights on, it will be dangerous out there with all those big machines around. I did get a note from somebody who was watching one of those, and they ran a stoplight. Stop sign, that is. The machine did. So if you're in behind one of those machines, you've got to pay as much attention as, well, we're asking the rest of the public to. You have a great afternoon. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The U.S. Senate Ethics Committee has admonished Illinois Senator Roland Burris for making inconsistent, misleading, or incomplete statements about the circumstances surrounding his appointment to the seat once held by Barack Obama. The committee didn't recommend any punishment. Burris was appointed by disgraced former Governor Rod Blagojevich. A letter from the committee said while it found no violations of law, quote, senators must meet a much higher standard of conduct. The committee wrote Burris that his phone conversation with the former governor's brother was inappropriate. It says Robert Blagojevich called Burris on November 13th of last year seeking to raise funds for his brother, and Burris appeared to agree to write a check while also bringing up his desire to seek the Senate seat. Governor Pat Quinn, meanwhile, says the admonishment of Burris speaks for itself and had nothing else to add. Governor Quinn says he'll review a letter he received from Illinois Republicans about a possible deal to sell a state prison to the federal government to house Guantanamo Bay detainees. Seven lawmakers, including Congressman Mark Kirk and Don Manzullo, have sent Quinn a letter with a list of questions about the Thompson Correctional Center. One of the things they asked about is trials for the detainees. Quinn today said the question about trials was one for the federal government, but says he believes there would be none in Illinois. The lawmakers have been outspoken critics of a possible deal to sell Thompson to the federal government. The Champaign man will likely spend the rest of his life in prison on charges of first-degree murder and attempted murder. 29-year-old Granville Johnson was sentenced today to 85 years in prison. Evidence presented at his trial in August showed he shot and killed Gregory Moore in July of last year because Moore had been working as a police informant providing information about drug sales in Champaign. And at today's sentencing, Assistant State's Attorney Dan Clifton showed evidence of Johnson's involvement in multiple cocaine possession cases in Champaign and Urbana. Johnson also shot and injured his cousin, Isaac Moore. Illinois is reporting 9 new deaths and 241 new hospitalizations from swine flu. Illinois Department of Public Health's weekly update brings the total number of deaths in the state from the virus to 56. More than 1,600 people have been hospitalized since April. Most swine flu deaths have been in Cook County, but there have also been deaths in central and southern Illinois. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. On the line with us today, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey, right here on this campus. And it all belongs to NOAA, at least the Midwestern Regional Climate Center does. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast. Looks like we've got a few nice days that farmers might be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, it looks like we'll have some at least partly sunny skies and temperatures a little bit seasonably warm for this time of year. Normally we're starting to see highs, let's see, here in central Illinois, we'd start seeing them down in the upper 40s, and we're now in the low 50s, so it's not terribly warm, but it's nice out and it's dry. The air is fairly dry. We just got back from Peoria for a meeting, and we saw one combine out in the field somewhere between Bloomington and Champaign, but he must have been pretty brave. a lot of standing water in some fields yet. But right now it looks like the weekend's going to be dry, and even into Monday. So we got essentially a four-day period here, counting today, that we'll have some pretty good weather. And it should be warming up gradually a little bit this weekend, not anything extreme. We're not going to be seeing any 60s or 70s, but it'll be in the 50s, and the air should stay fairly dry. The whole fly in the ointment for the next week will be a fairly strong cold front that will come through late Monday night and on Tuesday, and that will bring probably some rain to most of Illinois. Amounts don't look like they're going to be terribly high because of the rapid movement of the front, but at this point, with the ground saturated, anything on top of what's there is just going to delay things a little bit. And then once that goes by, we get turned up quite a bit cooler, and we'll have a pretty cold Thanksgiving weekend compared to what we've been having here. Temperatures at or slightly below normal, and definitely more November-like than we've been having.
Is there any place in the state that does not have a set of saturated soils?
There might be some very isolated locations, but in a general sense, if you're looking, you know, on a county by county basis or in terms of regions, no. It's pretty much everybody's got plenty of rain and, excuse me, with this time of year, with nothing really growing and all the rain we've had, the low evaporation rates, that pretty much all that moisture staying in or on the ground, and not many people are not having saturated soils.
It might mean that they won't be moving by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, so they'll probably want to know what that day is going to look like. Have you got a preview for us?
Yeah, it looks like it'll be nice. It should be sunny across most of the state, but it'll be rather cool. In the northern part of the state, may not be getting out of the 30s, and in the south, perhaps in the upper 40s.
Day 4, 5, or 6, maybe they will be moving on Thanksgiving.
They might be.
All right, thanks much.
All right, Todd.
That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.